saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Thank you for standing this morning. I'd like to preach out of verse number 2 on this topic, where he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. And I want to preach on this topic this morning on crossing your Jordan. Crossing your Jordan. I want to give you a little background this morning of this text. It's some writers, they estimate the minimal people that we're talking about today is a minimal of 1 million Israelites that's fixing to have to cross a Jordan. Here is a children, here is a people of God that could have done crossed over, but they found themselves bickering and dickering and mingling around in the things of the world. And God said, because of that, none of you is going to cross over and see the land of Canaan except for Joshua and Caleb. Now we find on the pages of the Bible, Moses has died. Thank the Lord for some Moses of the faith. I was reading what one old writer said. Said, now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, came to pass the Lord spake to Joshua. Now, when the champion of the forest falls, the younger trees around it are brought more into contact with the sunshine and the fresh air. They push up into a more taller and fully developed form. Death makes way for younger men. Some great names must be removed to make way for lesser names that have growing sap in them and real capabilities of benefiting expansion. We owe much to the cutting down power of the acts of God. Isn't it amazing this morning that some of our forefathers of faith have died and went on to glory, but yet He's raised up another generation. He's raised up another people. He's raised up other Joshuas. Honey, let me tell you, your Moses may be dead this morning, but my God ain't dead. And oh Lord, so many times we get our face too much on the Moses of life instead of the God of the Moses. And I want to talk this morning, first of all, about the principle of the fact of Jordan. The fact of Jordan. Look what the Bible said. Now, Moses has died. He'd been leading these people for years. He'd brought them there out of Egypt. Why, he'd parted the Red Sea. And folks, they seen things with that old man of God that, my goodness, they had never seen before. Ain't you glad of some old men of God that's been allowed to put in your path? I called my old man of God last night just to hear his voice. Honey, I'm going to tell you, every pastor needs a pastor. And so this morning, I want you to notice what he said. Moses has died now. And he said, now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. My goodness, have you ever thought about the influence of leadership? Not only was it affecting Joshua, but it was affecting some million or million and a half Israelites that was fixing to cross in behind Joshua. A lot of times, can I tell you, we say, well, leave me alone, preacher. I'm only hurting myself. That's a lie out of hell, friend. You ain't hurting yourself. You hurting people around you this morning. You are affecting somebody. And I am affecting somebody. And so now we see this fact of Jordan. He said, I want you to cross over this Jordan, thou and all the people. Well, I want to tell you about the fact of Jordan. It is a specific place. Notice the Bible said, this Jordan. Matter of fact, you may have this Jordan in your life this week and another appear next week. And just because you love God, just because you're faithful to the church, just because you're in your Bible and you pray and you give to the Lord, don't think you're not going to have some Jordans to cross in your life. Fact of Jordan, it's a specific place. But I want you to notice this fact of Jordan. Not only is it a specific place, it's a stopping place. He said, I'll tell you one thing, you ain't going no further till you get over this place. And how many times have we been stopped in our tracks because we couldn't get over what was going on today to get in on the blessing of tomorrow? Now I'm going to tell you something. I know the White House is in a mess. And I know that politicians is something else. And I know that the environment on the outside is awful. But let me tell you something. We can sit around and mully grub all we want to. Honey, it can be a stopping place or it can be a starting place for you this morning. Your Jordan may be a person. It may be something boiled up in your life. And I mean, they've just got you stopped in your track. Got your worship stopped. Got your thankfulness stopped. It may be a child that's gone wayward, and this Jordan's come to you, and it stopped you in your track. But wouldn't it be a blessing if you could get over it this morning? It wouldn't be a stopping place, it'd be a starting place. He said, matter of fact, he said, if you can just get over Jordan, he said, you're going to experience some things you've never had before. And so Jordan is a dim place, it's a dangerous place. Matter of fact, it's amazing to me that this Jordan that we're talking about, this was a place that was above floodplain. And the Bible speaks of this Jordan River that it had become such a flood stage. It said that it overflowed the banks of that river. And so, isn't it amazing many times that your situation, it just begins to swell and to get bigger and bigger. But there is a fact of Jordans. We all are going to face some Jordans in our life. Now, this fact leaves me with the next point I want to preach out of a few minutes. Not only the fact of Jordan, it can be a stopping place or a starting place, but there is the facing of your Jordan. I want you to notice what he said. He said, I want you to go over this Jordan. There was no bridge. There was no pontoon boat. There was no raft. He simply said, I want you to go over your Jordan. This morning, can I say, your Jordan's probably not my Jordan. Everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. I could say, well, I could quit smoking, that'd be easy. That may be your Jordan. I could quit drinking, that'd be easy. That may be your Jordan. Pornography may be your Jordan. It may be a family member that's your Jordan. It may be a church that you're facing that is your Jordan. But I'm telling you, honey, you never going to get to the other side till you get over what God's done told you to get over this morning. So there's the facing of Jordan. Notice what he said now, chapter 1, verse 2. He says, now arise, go over this Jordan, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, upon that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, first of all, the facing of our Jordan, I see inspiration. That lets me know God's got something for me over yonder. But I can't get to it over here. I got to get over something to get over in yonder to what God wants me to have. Can I tell you it's going to take some faith. And facing your Jordan, you're never going to get what God's got for you long as you're on this side of your Jordan. Boy, wouldn't it be easy when we see that Jordan just to tuck tail and run. But I am reminded if I run back, I'm never going to have on yonder side of Jordan what God's done promised me. Matter of fact, He said, I done give it to you. I wonder how many times that we've neglected to get what God's done give to us because we won't face our Jordans. Honey, you're not going to do nothing running from your Jordan. You're not going to do nothing laying down before your Jordan. You're going to have to face your Jordan. And there's inspiration. There's something over there, if I can just get to it, that ain't got on this side of my Jordan. Thank God He's got something done rigged for me, done set for me, if I'll just move and do what He said to and get over this Jordan. Lord, I wonder how many times some of you not going to get saved, you get over in the Jordan. And so many times we miss what God's given to our family because we ain't got the guts to face our Jordan. Sir, you're going to have some guts to serve this God. Sir, let me tell you, everything's not lollipops and roses serving this God. There's going to be some things flare up on you, and you must learn to face your Jordan and not run from your Jordan. Praise God. Right now I could go bear hunting with a switch. And it's easy saying, oh, how I love Jesus in the choir on Sunday. But what about when they're cussing and telling their dirty jokes on Monday? My goodness, there's a facing of Georgia. There's an inspiration there. God's done put something in your path. If you'll just get over what He's wanting you to get over, it's something waiting on you over there. Inspiration. And then He said, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to get over it without meditation. He said in verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now look, He says only, be thou strong and very courageous. It's possible to be a strong coward. Now don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet on me there, Matt Dillon. It's possible to be a strong coward. God wants us to be courageous. God wants us to be strong, but He wants us to have courage. Honey, some of you, the devil, holler, boo, you'll run under the pew. Thank God for some men that stand up, be courageous. Amen. And so here we're facing our Jordan. Oh, we need some divine meditation. Look what He said. It has to do with a book. He said, now be strong and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. All He had was 5 books. We got 66. He said, don't let the law depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Honey, I can give you the best formula for your job. I can give you the best formula for your home, for your marriage, for your children. It's in the pages of this King James Bible this morning. He's talking about meditate. He said, you ain't going nowhere till you get in this book and apply this book to your life. Can I tell you, He said, don't you go to the right or the left. I can know about this book. You can hear all the preaching in America. But until you apply preaching, until you apply the Word of God, it's not going to help you at your house, honey. We got to apply the Word of God. He said, I don't want you to go to the right or the left. I want you to walk right down through the middle of what I've left for you. And honey, if God be for you, who can be against you? This is the most blessed thing I've had in my hand all day. Oh, He said, look in it. He said, meditate in it. Get in it, dad, and that. Hey, you know what hour your TV show comes on. You know where the chapter and the verse is that's where you need to be in your Bible. You know when your game show comes on. You know when Family Feud starts. That's why you're full of Family Feud. You ain't in the book this morning. You know when American Idol starts. But you know where anything about the Word of God start. Amen. This thing right here ought to be precious to us. He said we ought to meditate in it day and night. Young people, arithmetic's good. English is good. I wish I had more of all of it. But honey, they ain't nothing like the Word of God. It's going to stand when this world is a-burning this morning. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to stand on this blessed book. And I say hallelujah to Jesus this morning. The Word of God still works in our day and in our hour. He said, not only facing your Jordan does they need to be inspiration. He said, I got something set for you. But he said, you better have some meditation. You better be getting some strength out of the Word of God. Christian, let me ask you something. How much of this are you getting in your diet daily? Oh my goodness, if we come in, I guarantee you we're going to eat 3 meals a day. We better get in the Word of God if we want something and get over our Jordans. Inspiration, meditation. I like verse 10 now. There's an illustration. I like this. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Now you ain't never going to do anything in a church where everybody's voting on everything. There's one Joshua to the church. And he told them, he didn't give them his idea. He commanded them. Now, honey, let me tell you, this thing of a group of people running the church, it ain't in your Bible this morning. God, don't look down now. It ain't time for praying right now. We preaching right now, honey. Let me tell you, you say you're a dictator. You call it what you want to call it. God's called me to preach the gospel and lead the people around the promised land. And if you don't like what we don't do here, go find you a place where you do like what they do in there. But for me and my house, we're going to get some people over yonder, over into Canaan's land. And honey, you ain't going nowhere voting on everything. That's the craziest bunch of hogwash I've ever seen all my life. Show me where anybody voted in the Bible. We had a man, went and worked on a church, Brother David. His Brother Rodney. I believe this is Sam what it is. Somebody wanted to put a little lock on the men's restroom gate. Is that right? Something like that. Go shake your head, Brother Rodney. I'm going to make you stand up enough. And one of the members said, no, we can't do that. We got to go in conference and vote on that. Now, honey, let me tell you, you ain't got to vote here about doing right. Just do right for the glory of God. Amen. I don't see no place where he said, hey, boys, we got to wait till the fifth Sunday night before we can vote on it and everybody get together. Could you show me one church where 400 Baptists has ever all got together? I'd hate to have about 15 pick of colors out. It'd be red polecat, it'd be striped, it'd be purple, it'd be candy striped, it'd be every kind of way. Just line up, get behind your Joshua, and go over the Jordans by the grace of God this morning. Well, now, you know, now, preacher, we ain't never done it that way. You ain't never had this neither. Committed to death. We've committed God out of the Baptist church. God's opened doors for me to be able to go out and preach. And honey, I guarantee when I pull up in the parking lot, I can tell if the pastor's the pastor there. Amen. We ought to respect our pastor. Somebody say amen right there. He ought not be on a first name basis. You ought to call him pastor, a preacher, a brother. You ought to teach your children he's not on a first name basis. There's respect that goes along with this office. And honey, if you're going to do anything, I don't care if it's on your job, if it's at your home. Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, was anybody ever raised under a daddy like what I had? He said, go cut the grass. You said, hang on, we're going to vote. Yeah, right. We're going to vote all right. Oh, we're going to vote. I can just see Brother Randall. I can just see old Nick. You say, boy, go out yonder and cut that wood. I can just see him saying, wait, me and Mom and Farrah's going to vote. I don't think that's nowhere even logic to me. Hey, you go in your job and your boss says, now that report's due September the 1st. You say, hang on, we all going to vote. Somebody got to be in charge. And honey, it's never been a board. It's never been a group according to that Bible. This Bible's not democracy. Matter of fact, we don't even live in a democracy America no more. We're in a socialist country. No longer is it the power of the people. It's the minority that's getting all the grease on the squeaky wheel this morning. Amen. It's the Sodomites and it's all of those folks brought into strange gods now. They've taken our rights away from us. Honey, let me tell you something. I still stand up and preach gun barrel straight that Jesus saves, Jesus saves this morning, friend. Bunch of lesbians trying to get your daughters. Don't look at the floor at me, honey. Hey, this church, a whole 500. It ain't got to be 500 sitting here for me to preach. This cause sin's come to your house and you're going to condone it. I ain't condoning your sin. If it's wrong in my house, it's wrong down your house. Amen. Right still right, wrong still wrong. My goodness, you're not going nowhere till you have a Joshua that leads you across your Jordan. And so we see now that Joshua took the command that God gave him, and he said, he commanded the officers. And I don't see no back talk nowhere. Passed through the host, commanded the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for then 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth to you to possess it. And the Reubenites and the Gadites and all them Ite crowds. He said, you're going to face them. And so we see there is a great illustration. To oppose a pastor's authority is to expose a rebellious heart. There's a man, I'm going to use this morning. I don't care if you like it or don't like it. It's on radio, so they'll hear it. Maybe he can hear it. There's a man got mad at his pastor, one of the deacons, and another one of the members. Matter of fact, he got so mad at him, he told him he was going to whoop him. Well, that bothered the pastor. I don't know why they'd bother the pastor. I'll say that. I don't know why it bothered the pastor. Somebody said they're going to whip him. Amen. But they didn't ordain him as deacon, Brother David. So he left. And he was one of the charter members. And he the boy's about 40, 42 years old. And so he left church. He said, I don't need that preacher. I don't need that church. I don't need them good people. And so about 2 months now, he's sitting at home and he decided he'd get him a little 22-year-old girlfriend. And so now, they was down there signing the papers this week, and guess who he had to face? The boy, Brother David, that turned on them men in the church when he was signing the divorce papers to his wife, looked up and the door next door, there come all of them three men walking in. And don't you know God reminded him, you know them men you hated and you left? Don't you wish to God you would have submitted yourself to authority and been in love with them and been in a Holy Ghost church instead of divorce court? Now you done tore two young'uns up. She's got everything you own. You said, how come you said that? The Bible says, rebuke before all that others may fear. Don't you think for 1 minute, sir, you don't need preaching. Don't you think for 1 minute, sir, you don't need a pastor. Don't you think for 1 minute you don't need a church to belong to. When we're left by ourselves, we're headed to trouble. And you better mark it down. I've been at this thing a long time, honey. We need the Lord and we need each other. And when you preach, you're going to hurt feelings if you preach. Now, if we had a pep rally or a politician club, you don't know what side I'm on. You don't know if I'm a Democrat or an Independent or a Republican. Because I'm going to try to please the people. But I'm going to tell you what we need. We don't need ear tickling. We need a man of God like Joshua that'll stand up and say, let me tell you something. You better get across the other side. Because Pharaoh's back there and he's fixing to eat your lunch if you don't get across. How many people that's been with me here for years in this church? God, I'm getting old. Brother Randy, how many people have you seen from my first church you stood with me at? How many of you seen would not apply preaching and where they are today? Let me tell you, friend, you may think you're bulletproof, but you ain't bulletproof. You go out there and act crazy, you want to, it's going to catch you. Are we preaching yet? Has it been worth the gas yet? All right, some of you ain't worth the gas. I'm going to give you some more. Facing you, Jordan. There's illustration. There's participation. I love it. Came to pass. The Bible said in chapter 1, verse 14, He said, your wives and your little ones and your cattle. See, it's just not about you, sir. Brother Jason, I hear you say, amen. What about little Aiden? It doesn't matter what you and Miss Tammy do. You got a youngin' bringing. Brother Chris, that baby son in your lap this morning, it does matter. Nick, little Braylee sitting there in your lap. It does matter, son. It does matter. We got a lot of things involved. And here in this teaching this morning, we have great participation. Watch what it says. He said, your wives and your children, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, but you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, till the Lord hath given your brethren rest. Verse 16, they answered Joshua, saying, "At thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken to Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." Verse 18, look how sincere they was about authority. "Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken to thy words, and all thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." Son, they didn't play church, did they? I had a thought. Let me tell you something. Somebody that falls out, you ain't got to kill them. They committing suicide. Oh, y'all don't believe that. That's one of the best points I've ever had in years of preaching. Suicide. When you go against this Bible and think it's your way, honey, you're committing suicide. Well, facing Jordan. Participation. Now watch this, chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to close a minute. There's aggravation. Have you ever been aggravated at a Jordan? I mean aggravated. Would anybody be as honest with this pastor and say, you've been aggravated at a Jordan? Let me show you what he done right here. Chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua rose up early in the morning. They removed from Shittim and come to Jordan. He and the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. Came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the house. Sometimes God allows us to look at our difficulties in order to appreciate God's work on our behalf. For 3 days, they sat there and stared at that thing they was going to have to cross. And it ain't a bridge nowhere. You know it'll do you good when you're sitting there looking. I'll give you this for instance. Brother Randy talking about can't get served in a restaurant. I don't know what's bad is that. Or you've sat down, they bring you a big nice thing of hot bread and cinnamon butter. And a big salad with some ranch dressing. And you just sort of getting your elbows rolled up and sort of drooling a little bit. And all of a sudden they bring you steak to the table. Getting it too soon. You know something? I tell you, when we appreciate God, honey, when we sit there and we've stared at our situation that we can't get across for a long time, and when God lets you get across it, when God lets it dry, you sure will appreciate God. You sure will appreciate Him when you sit there and stared at that thing a while. You know something? Mary and Martha, if Jesus would have come the first day when Lazarus got sick, their situation got so intense, she said, "Lord, by now he stinketh. I don't know why you come around here now. Lord, you late." He ain't late. He made them appreciate what he's going to do more. Hey, let me tell you something. If you get laid off today on Friday and you get a job Monday, that ain't too crucial. You get laid off Friday, and then it's next Friday, and next Friday, and next Friday, and next Friday, and next Friday. All of a sudden, God does something for you. You may do this in church Sunday. God ain't opened up no door for us to preach, and we've been sitting home about 6-7 weeks. All of a sudden, He calls us down there to preach to about 11 people. We'll say, "Thank you, Jesus." I tell you what you do. You hitchhike about 3 weeks. Hitchhike to work in the grocery store. And walk to some of it because transmission in your car went out. And you saved and saved and saved.
and you've been doing that class Brother Mike teaches. You save and save and put up. And all of a sudden you can buy you a new transmission. And that mechanic put that thing in the car and crank up and it pull out. You may hug the mechanic's neck.
Amen.
Aggravation. I tell you one thing, buddy. When you get a belly full, you'll do something different. I tell you the reason some of you won't make a change, you ain't got a belly full yet. But God's trying to get you to get a belly full. Amen? Absolutely, Pastor. Good preaching. Aggravation. And then watch this now. I'm closing. Chapter 3, verse 4, there's a calculation. Look what he told them. I thought about Brother Gerald when I was preparing this last night. Yeah, there shall be a space between you and it. What? What's going on, preacher? He said, I tell you the way you're going to get out of this thing. Now watch what we're going to do. Chapter 3, verse 1. Joshua rose up. He went before the children of Israel, lodged there before they passed over. Verse 2, he looked at it 3 days. Verse 3, they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. There shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you've not passed this way heretofore. All right, preacher, what you tore up about calculation. He said, I want you to stay back from it a half a mile. How come? Because he wants to be seen. He said, listen. He said, I tell you why you're going to get across your Jordan. When them boys put the Ark of the Covenant up, the presence of God, the Ark, where the glory of God is, and when they walk out in that river, you stay back a half a mile so you be sure that you're watching God where He goes. And don't you get off track. I'm going to tell you, when we get off track, it's when we done got too close in God's things and we go to putting our hands on God's things and we go to leading people astray, friend. We got to keep our distance from the glory of God because He deserves all the glory and all the power and all the honor. Thank God this church is about Him this morning. Probably some of you here first time, you probably say, well, that preacher ain't trying to build up that church. He's trying to clean it out.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. I'm glad you're here, and I praise God for you. But this thing ain't about me, and it ain't about you, and it's all about Him. And it ain't about one particular family that's going to run things. It's about the Lord Jesus that hung on a cross and died for our sins, and to Him be the honor and the glory. There's calculation. Won't you stay back a half a mile from it? But wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd just get our hands off of it and let God handle it? How many times have you got in trouble because you tried to handle it and didn't let God handle it? Boy, I've learned one of the greatest lessons of my life here for the last year. I've prayed about things. And I done found out if I just get out of the way and pray, honey, let me tell you, this is God's church. You're God's people. God will have the last say. Look at verse 5 now. Purification. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We're missing that in our church. We have very low morals. We have low manners. And we done try to pull in all the methods in the church. But let me tell you something. God's people are supposed to be holy and separate. You hear me? The church house is supposed to look different than the White House. The church house is supposed to look different than the school house. God's people ought to be pure and holy. Our yes ought to be yes and our no, no. You'd be surprised. The Christians that has influenced sinners going to die and go to hell because they was a stinking hypocrite. Hypocrite. But I'm going to say something on that note. You say, I ain't come to that church because hypocrites. There's hypocrites at Walmart. So you go use that excuse to die and go to hell, not get on the sound of the gospel, trust Jesus and be saved. You just going to run on out and let somebody put you in hell because there's a hypocrite, not me. The Bible says, keep your own selves in the love of God. Honey, we all going to give an account individually to God at the throne. We're going to give an account. And if the blood of His Son ain't applied on us, hell's going to be our home. You hear me, ma'am? Sir, you hear this old preacher. I don't care if it is 2010. Hell's a real place. Heaven's a real place. Jesus died on the cross to get you out of hell this morning. Young person, you think you got all day to live. You may not have all day to live. I don't know how long you're going to live. Moses died. The Bible said his eyes wasn't dim. He still had his mind. Moses wasn't thinking he was going to die. Moses looked like he had time left. This member here told me a while ago, pray for a family. Some 60, 62 years old, died this week, just set up retirement, drawed about 4 paychecks from the government. He had no idea he was fixing to be took out this week. And sir, let me tell you something. You're not guaranteed tomorrow neither, but you're guaranteed now you can be saved if you can trust Jesus. I wouldn't let a hypocrite keep me from doing what God wants me to do. I ain't got to stand for that hypocrite. I got to stand for me. Purification. Let me tell you something, friend. You're not going to go anywhere with God until you first get cleaned up. Your little social drinking, it don't work with God. Your little social cussing, it ain't working with God. Your little slipping around every now and then, that ain't getting it with God. That country music singer come out last week. She was on talk show. She said, I'm a lesbian. I want everybody to know. She said, I done found out me and God's cool. That's where this world's at, friend. That ain't in this book. That ain't in this book. How obnoxious that had to sound to a holy God. You listen to me, friend. We all make mistakes. There ain't a person in here perfect without the blood of Calvary. Brother Lee probably ain't a better man in this building than what you are. Brother Randall Morley probably ain't a better man in this building than what you are. But I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd be in hell in our sins. And He says that we'll confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If this place is not a pure place, there'll be no conviction. There'll be no conversions. There'll be no saints of God getting closer. Look at what your family's got in this ministry. Look what God's done for you in this place. You know why? Because just anything don't go here. You ought to thank God for it. If people go to bashing you and talking about it, you ought to say, well, you just ought to try it and apply it. Your Jordan. Now I'm done with this, but I sure can't leave here without showing you what I've seen in this verse. Preaching's amazing to me. There's the facts of Jordan. It's a facing of Jordan. But there's a faith at Jordan. Look at verse 13, chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible said, it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that shall come down from above. They shall stand upon a heap. Came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at all the time of harvest. All right, the faith at Jordan. What happened? He stepped in. You ought to get your feet wet. You ought to get your feet wet instead of sitting around on the sidelines. Come on in, the water's fine. Some of you scared to death, this old-time religion, this old-time world. You should just scares you to death. But it's something about it that's intriguing you. You're thinking, well, maybe these people got something I ain't got. I got a swimming pool. Don't write me off. I go to the beach. I play golf. I deer hunt. Praise God. I try to live. But our pool's cold right now. My grandbaby right there wanted to go swimming tonight. You know what this preacher done? I hunted a raft. That grandbaby's going swimming, buddy. Amen. Now don't get quiet on me. I know you crazy too. I put my foot in there and I told her, and I said, honey, this water's too cold. I can't take you. She said, moan, Poppy, moan, Poppy. Moon, Poppy. And I'm sitting there, Brother David, like this. I said, I know if I can just go in all of a sudden. Man, I jumped in that thing. I said, oh! The time I got back to that young'un, everything was fine. You know, you ought to get your feet wet. You ought to quit being a sideline Christian and get in this thing.
It's amazing what God's got set for you over your Jordan if you'll just get across it. And you ain't getting across it until you have faith. He stepped in the water. And you look what He done when you get home. He stood in the water. He just stepped out there, Brother David, and He stood. And the water rolled back. And oh Lord, watch this. Buddy, this right here is wonderful right here. And then I'm going to give an invitation. Watch your Bible. He stepped in the water. He stood in the water. But look at chapter 4, verse 10. He stayed in the water. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan till everything was finished that the Lord had commanded. Boy, I could just see them priests step out there. They stepped in and they stood and they stayed. So everybody got across. I wonder how long. Can I ask y'all, how long would it take for a million, maybe a million and a half people with cattle and all their belongings to get across a Jordan? How long did them boys have to stand there? I like what the Bible said, till God was finished doing what He is doing. Can I tell you, Liberty Baptist Church, Brother Randy, by the grace of God, I'm fixing to run. By the grace of God, I'm going to stand in this Jordan until God's done what He's going to do. Come here, Blayton. Come here. They some little ones fixing to come across one day. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to stand till them babies get across over there. And you know what? We'll be standing around. Come here, Dylan. Come here, Dylan. I'm going to stand out there and all of a sudden I'm going to look. Walk on over under my chair and sit down. Go over and sit down. You know what, Brother Tim? Lord God, they're going to walk across over there. These babies got to have a place to get across. Oh, Lord. I can tell it ain't a helping you way it's a helping me. But, oh, Lord, they've got to have a place. He said we simply stood. They didn't push the water back. They didn't do nothing. They simply stood and done what God told them to do. And God did everything else. Miss Sherry, you come. I don't even want a song today, Brother David. I just want Miss Sherry to play it. I want to open up this altar this morning. And I want to ask you something. Do you need to get over something? Maybe you need to get over and get over to a starting place this morning. Maybe your Jordan seems so difficult that you can't get over it. But if you'll simply move to your Jordan and face it and move by faith, step right out there and stand where God's telling you to stand. God will do something for you and your family like it's never been done. You know, I admire these families that stood with this preacher. Look at the effects it's made. Look at your grand young ones are sitting all over the house. Get over your Jordan this morning. You know something? Jordan's a type of Calvary. It's a terrible place. But you never go into heaven till you get over that Jordan. And you better trust Jesus while you can trust Him. He's a knocking on your heart. You better ask Him to save you this morning. Sir, God's wanting to do something for your home. Ball's in your court now. What you going to do? Ma'am, God's wanting to help you this morning with something you're facing. It's really bothering you. You can't get across. You're stopped in your tracks. Now what you going to do?